At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
All right, let's jump into politics at length for the first time today. President gets another win. Donald Trump, in his second term as president, Dave, he wins a lot. You may not like it. Plenty of things I don't like. But he wins. You agree with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of W's.
Even with Elon, right? Elon left, but Elon served his purpose by spending the extraordinary amount of money and then by taking a lot of heat that took a lot of heat off him and then at least attempting in a crude, mismanaged, haphazard way to go after government waste. All for government waste. When he came out there with the what, the power saw?
The chainsaw.
The chainsaw.
Yeah.
That was indicative. Like, USAID, what, 83% of it now shut down?
Mm-hmm.
How about the combo yesterday separately of George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Bono talking about how vitally important it has been. W, with the money they spent, with HIV in Africa, is amazing. There's one estimate today saying without U.S. AID over the next few decades, 14 million people might die. And we came up with all these, like Musk came up with all these extreme examples, and the extreme examples are awful. Some were lies, by the way. But sure, get rid of the extreme nonsense. The core of it still makes sense. And so Trump, look at last week's Supreme Court, with in particular what of the 1,000 federal judges? Well, guess what? Your jurisdiction, yes. The rest of the country, no. And it's an interesting argument because, yeah, you want to see that checks and balance of any president, not to become an authority figure, but then you start saying, well, should one of the 1,000 judges always stop everything? And then this is hypocrisy here also. Because there are prime examples of when Biden or Obama were president, when Democrats were saying, should one judge stop this? I mean, there's example after example. So, but he wins another win today. It's not completely there yet because you need the House and see if they can come together in the bill. But the big, beautiful bill passes 51-50. Lisa Murkowski, as always, talks and talks and talks. She's frustrated. She's disappointed. But in the end, she voted with the president. Susan Collins didn't. And so 51-50 obviously tells you that J.D. Vance broke the tie. We have an enormous size of government issue in this country. We do. We saw Tim Walz expand it dramatically in this state. We watched Mark Dayton expand it greatly in this state. But if you think it only expands under Democrats, you're a fool. You're not paying attention. Because it expands under both sides. And he is showing his cards on this one. Because I love how, and I say that sarcastically, how the Republicans have phrased this, well, if you don't sign this bill, it's a big tax hike for everybody. This is the tax hike bill, or this is the tax cut bill that Trump passed early in the first term that offered up enormous tax changes and in particular benefited the higher end earners. I benefit from that. Yeah. And now we're turning into Well, not that it's a continuation to make it permanent, by the way. Oh, no, it's a tax hike. That's very convenient wording. Sounds like something the two of us might do. Okay? Give me a break. So just admit it that he wants to continue the taxes. And I don't think solving every problem, by the way, I've made this clear, I'll say it again. I don't think solving every problem is just tax, tax, tax. But come on. He ran in 15 and 16 and 22, 23, 24 about, I'm going to make our tax system fair or more fair for everyone. This absolutely benefits the higher end. There's no denying that. And then, of course, this increases the debt limit by $5 trillion. DOGE is meaningless, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to increase the debt limit by $5 trillion. You know, I mean, if you got a house, let's say in Fort Lauderdale, Dave, and there is a big storm coming your way, and you got this one, you put this one wood placard up there, you know, and that's going to stop it.
That's a strong placard, though.
Yep, right there.
Might be a sandbag around.
No, not even a sandbag.
Not a sandbag, not
no,
one.
No, until you really protect the entire house, it doesn't matter. If you get just this nonsense done, you know, but there's a $5 trillion increase available. And by the way, let's contrast that. So this is telling us by the CBO, the bipartisan CBO. And guess who gets mad at the CBO? Either party when their president is the president. Because Biden folks were upset about it too. The CBO telling us it's, this bill is going to increase the debt by how much? $3.3 trillion.
That's a T.
And again, I'm not giving the Democrats great credit on caring about the size of government. Both sides are frauds. But Donald Trump, over and over and over and over and over again, I am going to cut costs. I'm going to cut the size of government. It's just, if the House can agree, and somehow, some way, they'll come to an agreement, he's going to win this one, somehow, way. Well, he's going to win that somehow because he has enough Republicans who are sycophants, and when you speak out against him, you're Don Bacon and you're Tom Tillis, you vote against it, and then you would say, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. I'm not running anymore. Bye-bye. They're afraid of him. Because we're now going to cut out $1.2 billion in Medicaid and food stamps. Again, by the CBO, by 2034, 12 million, just short of 12 million people will be off the health care as we know it. And I get the conversation about entitlements in this country that continue to grow and grow and grow. But let's have an adult conversation about it. And if you juxtapose it with taxes that are benefiting more often than not by a significant amount, higher-end earners, what are you saying? You're picking your winners and losers. So just be honest. Just be honest about what is taking place. And if you're an individual, Dave, and you're in a part of America where you feel like the Democrats took you for granted, and there are tens of millions of individuals who formerly were Democrats and have been caught up in MAGA fever.
That's why Trump's back in the White House.
That's it. They believe him more than they believe Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. They didn't believe enough in Barack Obama. And so this is the guy who is going to be their guy. Rural hospitals cut dramatically. Medicaid cut dramatically. And again, I'm going to repeat again. At the state level, local level, at federal level, we have an enormous entitlement problem. And too many of these folks are just cowards because they know older individuals who benefit from a lot of these entitlements vote a lot, so I don't want to touch. Trump said over and over again, no one was being kicked off. Come on. Don't tell me you're believing that the $800 billion is just all fraud and waste. Come on. You're smarter than that. So where do you stand in this? And Democrats, elections have consequences. Trot out the cliche. Haven't used that in a long time. They lost. They not only lost the presidency, they lost enough key races where Donald Trump can lose Tom Tillis, Rand Paul, Susan Collins, and you got your VP to break it. Then we got Elon and Don. And we'll pause, and I want your feedback on this. Where do I start with Elon and Don? Don saying, might even look at deporting him. He might put Doge on him. Elon calling Republicans the Porky Pig Party. Saying today at one point on Twitter, I could keep this going, but I won't for now. Yesterday, I think it was anybody who voted for this to hang their head in shame. And then the third part. If you've listened to me at any point over the 35-some years in town, you know I don't believe in just these two parties. I want three, four, five, six parties. I want to end this monopoly. Do you believe that Elon is an avenue for third party? He's so petulant. He's so moody. He's so rich. And he might be so ticked off about how this bill might be hurting his businesses and investigation, then maybe that'll happen, Dave. But what's his party? Is his party more of Doge? Just haphazardly doing things?
That's the issue.
Because for me, I want the 40 to 50% of the center of the country to be represented. And for that to happen and take on these two monopolies, you literally need billions and billions and billions of dollars. I'd love for, like, the 10 richest people say, we're sick of the Republicans, we're sick of the Democrats. We're gonna fund it to have more options, but they benefit too much. And right now, a lot of those individuals who detested Donald are now afraid of him.
Yeah, they were at the inauguration.
They were at the inauguration. They were donating. And look, Paramount and Trump are about to make a deal on the total nonsense on what happens all the time in newsrooms about the Kamala Harris interview and what was shown Sunday morning compared to Sunday night in 60 Minutes. I get it if you're a Trump supporter. You think, oh, that was awful. It happens all the time. And they're going to settle for, what's he looking for, $20
million? He wanted $20 billion lawsuit was
$20 million. What was I saying? Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think it'll get that high with the settlement. I have a hunch.
It's just a hunch. So what do you think about all this? Does the big, beautiful bill, is that the way to go? Is that the way to go? Putting more people to work who are on Medicaid and able-bodied? I don't have a problem with that. I don't. It hasn't worked as well as a lot of people believe it was going to work in a lot of states. But trying it? Sure. But I can give you state after state the number of people are going to be kicked off Medicaid. And you think Tom Tillis, the Republican, is just lying? It's not just people who are on the other side of Donald Trump who are saying this. It is a fact. Maybe you don't believe it's going to be quite as many, but it is a fact. And are we really comfortable with 12 million more people in less than 10 years off health care in this country? By the way, we're not talking about undocumented or illegal immigrants. It's citizens. And again, illegal immigrants and Medicaid, to think I'm automatically for that, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. I don't think they should qualify for that. Maybe they're kids, sure, but not 18 and above. No, I do not. And then is Elon a path for third party? Because, again, as moody as he is, as much wealth as he has, I don't think he's going to do it. And my gut tells me the part of the political apparatus which I want to be represented, I don't think Elon is my vehicle. What do you want to say? Either one. Phone calls, texts, jump in. Love the feedback. 651 461-9226. Dave, remind folks about the bumper music theme of the day.
Oh, such a big day for USPS. It's a double shot. Not only do we have National Postage Stamp Day, it is National Postage Worker Day. So we are saluting the brave men and women of your favorite arm of the federal government, the United States Postal Service.
We should get our mail 4 days a week, max.
And three more after that. Every day. Twice a day.
We don't
need morning and evening mail. Let's go.
No. Outside of folks with medicine, and I want to make accommodations for that, you don't need your junk mail 6 days a week. It's a joke. Among the texts here on the two topics, and the big, beautiful bill, 5150, now the House has tried to reconcile their differences. They'll stomp, they'll complain, but they'll figure it out. He's got the numbers. The problem is that the reading text here, I'm going to read a series of texts. The problem, none of these people getting aid from USAID are a part of the American taxpayers, and we are $37 trillion in debt. Okay, fine. Then live up to that and say, we are going to be the administration that stands tough, and we're going to lower the debt. The bill raises the debt ceiling by $5 trillion, and this bill, by the independent CBO, and again, if the Democrats have the presidency, they don't like the CBO. When they're not the president, they love it, and vice versa. So you can't say this is a cornerstone, and then with this bill, it's going up $3.3 trillion. Trump was right. I am tired of his winning. Listen, there's a poll that CNN put out today. Those folks who are strongly approve what he's doing, Republicans, 63% as of now. His first term, 53%. Bush, 43. This is before the attack, also, 59%. And Bush, 41, 46%. He's massively popular. It's his party. He has taken over. More text. Tax cut for billionaires and take away Medicaid. Shameful. Take the lap, Republicans, and watch citizens suffer. More text. We lose services and the debt increase. How does that work? Because you're making the tax cuts, which were a center of his first year in office, permanent. More talk of the services. This will just force people not to get preventive care and routine maintenance care. They will end up in the emergency rooms where we would treat them anyway and pay for it right through the hospital. This is not the way to do it. Saving money off health care costs, the vulnerable society ends up costing us. Well, this is a bit of the debate when here in Minnesota on cutting off the adults and their hospital, their medical care, right? Mm-hmm. And they still, it's a law in the state of Minnesota. Anybody that goes into a hospital.
Yeah. You get care.
You get care.
You show up to the ER, you get care.
And so guess what? Through the hospitals, the collective we, as citizens in Minnesota, we're paying for it, ladies and gentlemen. We're paying for it. And even there are plenty of Republicans who would admit off the record, it was a lot of symbolism. Because we know the costs are still going to be there. And guess what? It's a part of this also. Chad, I work for the public. I can't tell you how many times a week I see grown men walking around, their sweatpants, shirtless, living off their baby mama. Time to get to work. I have no problem giving help to the people in need, but I can't stand what this country has turned into. Okay. The work requirements. Do you have a problem with the work requirements on Medicaid for adults, able body, and a, what was it again? It's like, was it, I'm trying to remember how many hours it was a month. It was a notable amount.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Do you want Elon running to third party with what he did to Doge? It's not a third party. If he runs it anything like that, then I'm voting for. And for people to automatically assume it's just going to be a party that siphons off Republicans, I don't know. Predicting that guy is impossible.
No, that's just the issue of why a third party led by Elon Musk, or at least led in funding by Elon Musk, is, you know, is it going to be run like Tesla, which seems
well, until the blowback to have been a very successful company.
Yeah.
Or, like you said, with Doge, with, you know, the X takeover, just haphazard going this way, then going that way, and not really having any direction by the end of it.
Elon could push Dean Phillips over the finish line. Elon is going to dictate all the policies, though, right? That'd be my guess. He's not going to say, hey, Dean, I like you. I'm just going to back you. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. He wouldn't do that with the president of the United States, let alone a candidate. Last thing, a texter. I work in rural hospitals serving patients, majority Medicaid recipients. We barely survived, and our equipment and staff not well paid. We save lives on a shoestring. This will kill these hospitals and death of poor rural health care. It's a travesty and heartless. That's one of the biggest issues with this. Rural health care and hospitals, that money is going down dramatically. And Donald Trump ended up winning big votes in those areas all across the country, to his credit. But now those folks are not in a good position. Tim Heron, on his life and his son, Carson, qualifying for this week's stop on the PGA Tour. Timmy's coming up in moments. I want to talk about Aquarius. What would you say, Dave? Half the people aren't working tomorrow?
Exactly 58.2%.
58.2%. Yep. So then a bunch of you, you're going to want to get outside. Before you get outside, have a little pop, your coffee, your hot chocolate. Yes, you can have hot chocolate any time of year. Have some water and get it from Aquarius and get their Kinetico drinking water system. Now, if you want to have coffee, if you want to have hot chocolate, if you want to use water as a part of the other drink you're having, guess what? When you go to Aquarius and you get that Kinetico drinking water system where you can save up to 25% off, you have this fabulous water right there. I've had one since the early to mid-90s. Love it. But it's way more than that. You got to have a water softener. How about those dishes? How about your laundry? How about when you're showering? And then you're saying, well, what else does Aquarius do? Maybe you're home right now listening. Thank you. Maybe you're headed home. Maybe you'll be home later. Go to that utility room. Pretty much everything in that utility room, Aquarius will take care of. Earning the right to be recommended, they've earned it from me for 30 years. AquariusHomeServices.com. I'm minding my own business last night, Dave Harrigan, and I'm lining up a little golf, and I'm reaching out to my good friend and a good friend of Tim Heron, four-time PGA Tour winner, who's with us right now, our mutual good friend Tyler Simmons, and I'm seeing if Tyler cannot play. And all of a sudden, he's telling me I'm monitoring Carson Heron, who is in a playoff to qualify for the John Deere. And I'm like, wait a second. I was just in the range with Carson a couple weeks ago and talking about stuff. And I'm like, really? And all of a sudden, I look it up, and Carson, 6 under par. Then he's in the playoff, 3 players, 1 spot. And 22-year-old Carson Heron prevails, and he's now playing in the John Deere. And his dad, Lumpy, Tim Heron, is here, my buddy from Windsong. How are you feeling today? Has it settled in what your son did yesterday yet?
Yeah, I just walked the front nine. You know, I'm in a cart now on that Champions Tour, and I just walked the front. This place is hilly. I'm like, I can't believe I used to do this.
Yes.
But
yeah. When I see it Windsong, you're not walking, brother.
But I walked with him. I got up at 4 this morning and drove down to Moline and got there for his practice round.
Fantastic.
He was playing with a good friend of mine, Henrik Norlander. So I could kind of have a little banter, keep the practice round a little loose, and get some work done in the practice round.
Okay. How closely were you watching everything yesterday?
Very closely. And then it was great. His caddy, I mean, we got a lot of little sub stories. His caddy's a friend. When I was playing the John Deere 12 years ago, because they're 10 years old, they met on the golf course.
Is that right?
And they've been good friends ever since. And this guy caddied for Carson. So he was texting me and, a couple family members, his brothers and stuff, how he was doing. But that was the only way I could kind of see. They didn't go hole by hole. It's not like PGA Tour, because it was just a qualifier. They didn't have all the shot tracker and all that
stuff.
So we had to go through a different source, but we got it done. It was very nerve-wracking.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Because he played 7:40, and I think they played off at about 6 p.m.
I was just going to ask you this. Even if you play in the local events here in town, right, you could have an early tee time and sit around for literally 4 or 5 more hours. So this is your 22-year-old, and how did you feel like he was playing before he went to this Monday qualifier? These events have, the PGA Tour events, if it's not a signature event or it's not a major, they'll have a Monday event where a small number of players, maybe what would you say, about 4 or 5? Is that about the typical number, Tim?
4. They call it a 4 spot. So
okay.
4 guys make it every, and most of them are Korn Ferry, so he had to actually qualify to get in the qualifier.
Got it. Got
it. And what I've heard is if he makes the cut this week, he'll never have to do the pre-qualifier, which was on Thursday. So he's been down in Moline for about 7 or 8 days.
I don't know if I want to be in Moline for 7 or 8 days.
Yeah. I guess I'm talking to the audience in Minneapolis.
We can tell the truth about Moline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Going back to my CBA broadcasting days, they had a team in the Quad Cities. I needed to get in and out of Moline as fast as possible.
But okay. I'm like, hey, do you need a hotel now while you made it and all this stuff? And he's like, no, I'm going to stay with my buddy. Why would I take things up?
No.
So he's staying with his buddy and his girlfriend, and they're doing,
That's fantastic.
They're doing their own thing.
Okay, so how is he playing, and how realistic, considering he had advanced through 2 tournaments, how realistic did you think this was for Carson?
I didn't think maybe this quick, you know? And he called me right after he played, and I go, well, what do you think? 6 under, how hard is the course? I haven't seen this Monday qualifying golf course.
Right.
He goes, Dad, there'll be a 9, 8 under, and he was right. There was a 9, 2 8s, and there wasn't a 7, and 6s hung in there, and I think it might have gotten a little windy in the afternoon. Because all the good scores were in the morning wave. There was 1 other 6 under in the afternoon. And so that's why it was 3 for 1 spot. And there's no alternates. So it's 4 and you're done. So those guys that lost in the playoff don't have any chance of getting in.
I know. That stinks. So
you got to bring your game.
What did he do all that time in between? As he's waiting and waiting.
I hope he took a nap.
Yeah.
If he was like his dad, hopefully he took a nice long nap. But I'm sure he was checking scores and things like that. But like what I said, the scores weren't, it's the local section. So they didn't have scores hole by hole. They just, once a guy signed his card, they'd show 6 under or 3 under, whatever the guy shot. So I don't know how you really track on who's playing or what, where on the PGA Tour you got that
everything
where you could see a guy make a bogey or a double and let everyone else in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. When you saw him today, was he just because I'm thinking back. I think Carson first caddy for me about like 8 years ago or so, and he was and he was a 14-15, and he was as natural as can be. He's cracking jokes. He obviously was a great player then. He provided such good advice. He just seems, shockingly a lot like you, very matter-of-fact, not rattled by things, just taking it as it comes. So when you saw him today, did he seem like just, hey, here's my kid who I've seen every day? Or did he seem like just a little bit different realizing what he had accomplished?
No, he knew he accomplished something great, and it's probably been a dream. And too bad he couldn't get him on the horn. Still in his practice round, but no, he was gleaming, his big smile. But you know what? He's been here, and he's been around, and he's been, even at a young age, I'd always bring him in, the locker rooms and stuff. People know him, so he's real comfortable with this scene. So I think he's got potential to do pretty well this week if he kind of stays patient, kind of have to know which pins to go at and which ones not to. And but these guys bring it every single week. You know, the score will be 20 under plus. So
yes, exactly.
But you still have to kind of fall into your round and kind of, you know, how you feel like, yeah, I made a birdie and, you know, making some pars, and then you can get a little more aggressive.
Well,
so I just hope he kind of gets into his rounds.
So went to New Mexico, two-time conference player of the year, then just has a brilliant final round last year to win the state open. How much did that juice his confidence, Timmy, just to know that he could play with the big boys and put that sort of – I mean, 64 at Rush Creek is just a tremendous round of golf.
I think it totally did. Yeah, he didn't win for like 2 or 3 years. And he kind of won a lot, you know, right when he was a senior in high school, he started winning. And then college, it's a whole new level. And, you know, he kind of just got into it. And he actually co-won. In college, they kind of call it a co-win. They actually play off, and he lost two playoffs. But he co-won twice this year, and one was a really good field at Arizona State. So I think a lot of that momentum and confidence, and I go, man, you're a long player. You're going to have to learn how to be patient hitting that long. You're going to have some times where you're going to be hitting it a little sideways, and you know, you got to play with what you have, and it's an arsenal. It's an advantage if you can get that ball straight, and he's a good putter, so
yes,
that's and good feel around the greens, so yeah, this is just going to be a huge experience and great stepping stone either way. And I mean, it's so hard to Monday qualify. I've had to do that in my 40s. I'm like, I'm done doing that.
Well,
I went to Hawaii one time. I shot 67. And it's a pretty funny story. I got my buddy there from high school. He goes, yeah, do you want a drink with your lunch? I go, no, I better not. I might have to play off.
Yeah.
And so I order like a club sandwich, and I go out to check the scores, and 63, the next group, 63, 64, 65, I go, I'll have a drink.
Yeah, I'll have a drink.
I go, I went all the way to Hawaii to shoot 67, and I get nothing for it.
Let me be honest about this. When me, you, and Lou and other guys are sitting around, and we're thinking about, you know, maybe going to play more, you never now say, I'll pass on the drink. You've learned.
You've learned
your lesson.
One
last thing. First of all, tell them from me for sure, congratulations. But I feel I was a bit of an inspiration because about, I don't know, was it 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, we were on the back range out there, Windsong. And we talked a little bit, and then I hit down the road, and I was hitting so many awful shots because my game is such junk right now. I think I provided him indirect confidence in his game. He's like, I have to be better than this buffoon, you know, and it gave him momentum. That's what I'm going with right now.
Nah, he loves it, man. He doesn't judge.
Yeah.
He just likes being with good people, and you're one of them. So it's been great. The great experience for him out at Windsong, and Dave Meyer's great. The membership's great.
It's fabulous.
It's a fun place.
It is a fun
place. Just saw Jimmy P, and he said, didn't you and Lou have a big match
in
spring somewhere?
No.
Or was it Jimmy P?
Yeah, it was Jim P. Yeah. And then we got our new course. I played it the other day. The guy who owns the place, Dave Meyer, a great friend of both of ours. He walked the whole 18 with us. It's just another great addition to the golf community in town.
I heard it's awesome. I haven't heard one bad thing about it.
It's really good.
All good positive things.
It's good stuff. Congratulations, my friend, and congratulations to the whole family. And I'll be paying really close attention this week. I hope
we
still
have that outing to do.
Oh yeah,
we still got that outing to do.
We'll get it done, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Tim Heron on his son, Minnesota's own Carson Heron, at 22, twice qualifying to get in a PGA Tour event. That's fabulous. Jason, it's going to take you home.